Hi, welcome back to the 801 podcast. We're Be All Garden of DFW. I'm Melissa.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Charles.
I'm Kit.
And today we're going to be talking about the anime industry and ways to support it. This kind of came about because recently we got into a little bit of a Instagram, Facebook argument with a store over some illegal merchandise.
And by we, she means her.
It was not just myself. Several of us took up the cause. Basically, we noticed that there was a store that was selling illegal merchandise that was really targeting Fujoshi. It was kind of getting a lot of traction in our fandom circles. And so we ended up, once we realized that it was actually bootleg stuff, kind of called them out. They responded rather negatively to it and ended up doubling down on selling the bootleg merchandise. And for myself, as somebody who works in the anime industry, that was really, I mean, it's hurtful in a way, but it's also just like, wow, you're really like actually going to cost people jobs, or you could cost, you know, the creators money. It's just something that I strongly disagree with. And I think that by and large, our group is a group that wants to support the industry. So we're going to be talking today about ways that people can, because I think that for a lot of fans, it's not really something that they outwardly understand or outwardly maliciously do, but they just don't know maybe how the best ways to support the industry are. So that's what we're going to be covering. And part of this podcast is probably some of the bones from a sports anime panel that myself and Cho have done before. So if you've seen that at ACON or Anime Fest, then some of this content is going to be similar. We're kind of taking what we've talked about sports anime and talking about BL, because it's the same thing in terms of how you actually support the industry. So that was kind of the framework of how we got to deciding to do this podcast, which you'll find that a lot of times our podcasts kind of turn into something happened and we had to respond to it. So we're going to, you know, turn it into a lesson for everybody else to really see.
So the theme is PSA, if you have money, here's where you should spend it.
Basically, because we do recognize that not everybody has, you know, a lot of disposable income. And if you do have disposable income, you may not be choosing to spend it on anime. For many of us, we were not always at the spot that we were at professionally or financially, which, you know, I would like to say that with some hard work, it does get better for a lot of people. But to that point, if you do not have a lot, this will help you figure out how best to support the industry, so that maybe once you do come into more, or you decide that you want to spend more, or if you are already spending more, maybe you can figure out how to adjust your habits to better actually help. Because the industry as of late for like women-centered merchandise and women-centered shows, I mean, with sports anime becoming more and more popular, we have very shippy or like Fujoshi-centric titles within sports anime, outside of sports anime. Things like male idol anime also are in that sphere. We do have what I would say like legitimate, like actual BL series getting more and more merchandise. It's important to know how to support, because we're constantly being bombarded with things that we can actually spend our money on. It's really great that, I mean, I guess it's more of a capitalist thing, but it's great that we are so much more commodified as a fan base. They have things that they want us to spend our money on. It's like, that is recognition that we did not have 10 years ago. I think a lot about how Yadachin specifically, or something like Tenkount, like Yadachin is now an anime, Tenkount's getting an anime, but these were not titles that were anime. They were just like BL manga, and the amount of merchandise that you were able to buy for it was really, you know, like kind of
non-existent.
Like, unprecedented for Yadachin in particular.
Very unprecedented. And the fact that Tenkount is getting figures. I mean, I mentioned it to one of my coworkers who's a big figure collector. She was like, I don't think I've ever heard of like a manga series outside of like a like Ero Doujinshi getting figures before an anime. So it's really impressive that we're getting all this. So again, it's really important to understand, because we have all this opportunity, what to do with it. So the kind of how we're going to break it down is categories of behavior, or things that can actually harm the industry, things that are very like neutral, that really don't hurt it or contribute, and then things that actually do help. I think it's really important to understand that the anime industry is an industry. We live in a capitalist country in America. Japan is also a capitalist society. None of the companies that are participating in the anime industry, be it like Crunchyroll, Funimation, Viz, Sentai, Aniplex, none of these are charities. I want to dispel that myth. It's not a charity. There's no registered 501k. All of these are operating as for-profit businesses, which means that they need to make money to be able to then pay their employees to pay their bills and then still make profits. It's not, you know, a nonprofit situation here. So it's all dependent upon money. That's this, the way this whole thing flows, is that you've got to put money into the system. So one of the things that directly, like, does not put money into the system, probably the biggest thing that harms the anime industry, are illegal streaming sites. Or if you're illegally downloading, either you're doing fan subs, it's direct rips that might have been from Crunchyroll or something like that. And it's really harmful because for most of these companies, the streaming numbers that they get for the week that it streams or during the simulcast window are what's going to give them their home video projection. So if you're not watching it legally on Crunchyroll or Funimation, they have absolutely no idea that you're actually going to want to buy this thing, which I would argue if you're watching it illegally, are you really going to want to buy it anyway, because you're already not putting into a $7 or $10 a month streaming service. But it's, you're not giving them those numbers. You're not giving them those monthly subscriptions. That is directly taking money out from the North American licensors who also pay royalties, who've paid to get these titles acquired for streaming and for home video rights. So you're not putting even into that system. So it's, if it's not coming into the North American system, it's not going to go all the way back to the Japanese system. And to that point, for manga as well, scanlation sites, again, you're not putting in. Manga has not fully caught up to anime in terms of how it's adaptive to, like, we have all of the simulcasts for anime. For manga, there are quite a few places you can get things the week of, but it's not fully caught up for things like BL. So I think that there's still work to do. But the important thing for scanlation sites is if you're reading it on scans, you should, you know, try to buy the manga. There's a lot of e-manga out there. And also bootleg merchandise. Mm-hmm. If you're buying bootleg, like, where it doesn't have a copyright on the back, that's absolutely not putting anything into the industry. You basically funded some Chinese ripoff company. And the easiest way to check to see if something is bootleg, especially for, like, Itabag merchandise or whatever, is if you look on the Charm or the Sandy or wherever, there's always going to be a copyright. It might be, like, a long copyright. It's probably going to be a small jumble of letters. But it's going to have the copyright, which lets you know that it's real, versus bootleg merchandise that lets you know it's fake. So if we think about things that kind of are neutral in this situation, so they're not harming the industry, like watching illegally, they're not necessarily actually adding to it because you're not putting money in to support the creators. Cosplay actually is one of the biggest things that's kind of like a neutral thing. And this is unless you're buying licensed cosplays, which they do make a lot of licensed cosplays in Japan. They even have some licensed cosplays here in America. I know that recently for My Hero, you can buy that at like Hot Spirit. Topic or somewhere, or Spirit Halloween.
And Kingdom Hearts, they have Keyblades now. They've got Kingdom Hearts. I mean, there's a lot of costumes that are coming over here for anime and video games. And I mean, we didn't have that way back when.
No, so if you're able to buy the officially licensed ones, then this is not going to apply to you. But it's when you're going on eBay or Amazon and you're ordering the bootleg cosplays basically from China, that's not putting anything into the Japanese anime industry. It's not putting anything into the North American licensors. It's just going straight to that person's pocket in China.
Or if you make your own, that's going to the bucket of Joanne Fabrics.
It's perfectly valid to make your own. I mean, sure. It'd be better to probably make your own than to buy it. I understand why people buy cosplays. Not everybody can sew. And cosplays is one of those things that it can sometimes create a false sense of inflation in terms of how popular a show is, because you'll see tons and tons and tons of cosplayers. But you have to wonder, do those cosplayers actually then buy the home video? Mm-hmm. And I speak a lot from, like, moving towards buying the home video, because it's kind of the end goal and the big goal for the North American industry. Because that's the final product, you know. It's the limited edition or the standard edition that you purchase. That's where the bulk of the money is going to be able to go for anime back to the creators, just like buying the manga is actually going to go. That's where the bulk of the money is going
to
go.
Because I think one thing people just don't think about is that to get the anime here in North America, the companies have to have the money to buy it from Japan. And it is extremely expensive. And if they're not making that money back, it doesn't get to come over here.
Yeah, it's one of these things that it's anime is licensed with a amount per episode. And these things add up very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it's again, if you've not got the subscription money coming in, if you've not got the home video money coming in, then it really limits a company's ability to acquire new titles. And then it's like, well, how are people going to then watch the next simulcast season if they're not getting this up? It really can spiral very quickly to be a disaster for a company, which I think is why some of the smaller companies have had such a hard time getting into the industry, because to really be competitive, you've got to shell out quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because you have multiple companies bidding for these titles.
And that's also why sometimes other companies get a season that another company didn't have. And it's just, they're able to get the money to do it. But
yeah.
if it's not supported, then you might see why, you know, a certain season doesn't come over at all or doesn't get a dub until like a year or two later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and especially with dubs, a company usually has to assess how popular it's going to be. And for some companies, they just go ahead and dub it outright because that's their whole business model.
Mm-hmm.
For some companies, the dub is based on how well the original, like, subtitled version sold. Like, clearly, when Sentai decided to make the IQ dub, they must have had good results from the original IQ sales. Or,
a little bit.
Otherwise, it would lead me to believe that they don't know what they're doing, which I can't comment on that. It's just, like, somehow they made the business decision that IQ was worth dubbing
mm-hmm.
and giving a limited edition. And for a company to spend the money on a dub and spend the money on the premium packaging, clearly it would have done well for them, or they mm-hmm. thought it would do well enough to make that product. Because, I mean, you have to spend money to make the things, too, when you
mm-hmm.
make a video. So anime is a very expensive thing before it even gets to market for you to buy. Which, kind of getting back to some of the things that don't necessarily, like, help or hurt... it pains me to say this as like a fan artist, as somebody who operates an artist alley, but if you buy merchandise from me, it's not going to go back to the original creators. I'm not sitting there sending a royalty check off to Japan. No, it's going straight into my pockets and paying my bills, which is great because you're supporting individual artists, some of whom make their entire livelihoods based off of, you know, selling fan art or selling original work as well. But it's not actually going to be going to the creators, which this whole goal is, how do you support the industry? How do you support the original creators? Because it really is like, do you want to get more BL? Do you want to get more sports anime? If you want more of that in Japan, let alone in the US, you have to do all of these things to kind of like actually support the industry. And you can't fool yourself into thinking, oh, I watched it on Kiss Anime, it's not going to hurt anybody. It is absolutely hurting people if you watch
mm-hmm.
stuff on Kiss Anime. I will tell you that.
Another thing about fan-made merchandise. So in America, most of it is going to be like prints or... Now, acrylic keychains are really big, but in Japan, it's all about doujinshi. And a lot of people, when they first hear about that, they're like, how can there be this, like, there's an entire 3-day conventions of 1,000 people selling doujinshi they've made. So basically drawing their own version of an already copyrighted published material. It's like, how is that allowed to happen? It's not a problem? No, it's not a problem, because that's not hurting anybody, because... generally, the people that create the doujinshi are not profiting from it. If their goal is to break even, almost no one profits from it. So nobody's getting rich off of somebody else's ideas there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really doesn't take away, I guess they've assessed that it doesn't take away from the anime and manga industry's revenue. And so it's just they're fine with it. And also in Japanese culture, copying something and then putting your own spin on it or making it better is kind of also the way that they've done a lot of things. Like, American invented the TV, Japan made a better TV. You know,
well,
cars too. And so that's another thing where copying something is not there as in, we see here as like a huge infringement. There is not always the same mentality around taking someone else's work and putting your own spin on it.
Yeah, and Japan has a slightly different approach to supporting. Like, I think that there's, like, a different culture in Japan versus in the U.S. about how to support the industry. Like, I think that, by and large, American fans are pretty good, but there is much more, I feel like, of the, well, I'll just watch it on Kiss, it's not going to hurt anybody culture, whereas in Japan, it's very important to the fans to support. I mean, granted, they have a lot easier access to supporting things. You can just walk into Animate and buy something or
yeah.
That. But with the doujinshi culture specifically, part of the reason why the industry has allowed it to continue is because it actually does create that hype. If there's 6 Yuri on Ice events, that's actually pretty indicative of how good that series is doing, because people want to draw for it. But it's interesting because here I feel like there's not an antagonistic relationship between the artist alley and anime companies, but it's certainly not seen in the same light as helping to like support a series. I think in part because for American fans, sometimes there is the culture of buying fan merch instead of official merchandise, instead of in Japan where it might be buying both, or where there's just so much more official merchandise that there's really not even a need for somebody to be making fan merchandise, or that culture doesn't fully exist.
And also, their threshold for spending on things is different too, because one thing that really shocked me is that if you have a, let's take Junjo Romantica for example, so each season has like 12 episodes, and so they release the episodes first on DVDs, two episodes at a time, and they cost like $40. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to buy the whole thing costs you a ton of money. And then the way they kind of incentivize you to buy things is they usually come with something. Like, I bought one of the DVDs because it came with a rubber strap that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now I have a DVD with only two episodes on it. So, like, and drama CDs too are really expensive. They're like $40 or $60. So yeah. Like keychains and stuff are here and there are pretty similar. They're a little cheaper there because there's import fees and you know, markup over here. But they're like limited edition collections of things, and even just movie DVDs of regular movies are so much more expensive there.
Media is very expensive.
They don't cost more to make. A DVD doesn't cost more to make there than does here. It's just what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah. That's very important too, because I think that we expect anime, and when we watch anime, to be like, that is the product. That's the product we want to buy. Whereas in Japan, for a lot of series, especially if it's based on a manga, the anime is basically a really expensive commercial. Mm-hmm. It's just being made to advertise for you to buy the manga or the merchandise. And for a lot of these, they're running in super late night slots. They're not running on prime time. So, like, if you're watching this, you're probably a super otaku who's staying up at night to watch it. There's not quite the streaming services fully that we have in the U.S. where I can watch, you know, whenever, or watch as soon as it simulcasts. But it's just a different interpretation of how it's what the use of the anime is there. Whereas here, we're not always able to promote the original IP. You know, the manga may or may not be here, but the reason that if Funimation licenses My Hero, it's not to promote the My Hero manga, because they don't sell the My Hero manga. But the Japanese production committee sure as heck commissioned making the My Hero anime to promote the My Hero manga, to promote My Hero Academia as a property. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's feeding this whole thing. Like, they're all like cyclical, because you're gonna buy the merchandise because you watch the anime or you read the manga, and you're gonna watch all those and then buy the merchandise. So it's just this whole big cycle that you get caught up in, and that's how it's supposed to be. I mean, this is a capitalistic enterprise here. None of this stuff is, you know, like, oh, everybody's going to get their one episode of anime a day, socialism or kind of thing. This is very much an industry that, you know, hopefully at some point you're able to buy into if you like it. I mean, you may feel a little bit manipulated by all the merchandising that they have, but it's just a difference, again, on the Japanese side versus the Western side, of how we approach anime and how it's, you know, marketed at us and how it's supposed to be interpreted. But in terms of, like, supporting the things that you can do to actually support, let's get more BL, you know, because I think that that's a complaint that I sometimes hear is, oh, I want more BL anime. So here's, you know, kind of what you can do to get that to actually happen. If there is a BL anime out there, such as, what's the title for the fall one this time? The sexiest man alive is harassing me or something.
Oh, yeah. It's the number one man I want to embrace me or something.
Yeah, or from a couple of seasons ago, you had Hitorijime, My Hero. The important thing, if you want to get more sports and more BL, more mecha anime, more moe shit or whatever, watch legal streams. So if there's a legal stream of a BL out there, like Hitorijime, My Hero was on Amazon Strike, which is now just regular Amazon Prime, watch that legal stream. You can watch it as a simulcast, or if the company that licensed it has like a simul dub, either way you're watching it, you're supporting the show. I will say it is, if you really, really, really want to support it, it's best to watch it the same day or week as it airs, because again, the streaming numbers that they get when a company sees that, say, 40,000 people streamed it every week, they're looking at that week to week. They're not looking at who watched it a year down the line and was like, I might could be convinced to buy this. They're looking at the people who bought it, who bought the subscription, or who watched it right then and there in that simulcast window, because that's what's going to forecast the people who are most likely to buy a home video product. And that's just across the board what, you know, most companies in the anime industry do. So, I mean, if you end up not being able to watch it within that simulcast window, it's not the end of the world, but just know that, like, unfortunately, you're not going to have been captured in that initial.
That being said, there have been some titles that become more successful because a few years down the line, they just blew up. And Steins Gate's a really good example of that because it wasn't popular when it initially came out. Then a year or two down the line, people just started buying the set like crazy and streaming it, and it became a really big title.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't give up if you missed a season. Just go back and watch it. Just do it legally.
And doesn't Crunchyroll have a way to watch things free, too, if it's like a week later?
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of the websites, you can watch 1 week delay with ads if you are not able to actually support with the subscription part. And I have a little piece that we'll talk about some of the ways that you can do if you're on a budget, because again, I recognize that by and large, a lot of anime fans are on budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're on a higher end budget, it's a budget.
Yeah.
And you have to stick to it at some point because you should never prioritize anime before food. I will tell you that much.
And I mean, it's not even all about home video, because I pretty much never buy home video releases because, for one thing, my computer doesn't have a DVD player anymore. But it's also based on what does well, that's going to help them choose what to get for the next season. So, like, if they got there, like, oh, let's try doing a BL this time, and then nobody watches it, they're not going to try it. They're going to let some other subscription service get that.
Yes,
so now I'm going to have to buy that other subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
So in the interest of keeping my number of subscriptions to a minimum.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Let's all just watch it. So, yeah.
And I will say, if you do feel inclined to buy the home video release, If you can buy the home video, that's really great. That's kind of into the line what the company is like. The ultimate goal is, because you know most companies that sell home video, that's where they're going to get the bulk of their income. If they offer a limited edition or say a collector's edition, and you can afford to do that, that's better. That's more revenue. You're going to get a nicer set, and especially in cases where maybe that limited edition, they might be taking a risk on it, or you feel like something with Haikyuu where you initially did not get one.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important then when the company has come back and actually catered to you to buy into that, you know,
absolutely,
put your money where your mouth is kind of thing.
Well, and especially because, you know, you see people commenting also like, oh, you know, that LE last time had this rubber strap and I really wish this one did. Well, did you buy it last time? Because they can only continue to create the stuff you want if you buy it.
Yes. Again, put your money where your mouth is. And with that, I would recommend for people to buy official merchandise. The kind of like the best combo you could do to really support an anime would be to watch it legally, buy it when it comes out on home video, and to maybe buy a piece of official merchandise. And I understand that not everybody can do all three. The merchandise kind of works good as like a little cherry on top, but sometimes if all you're able to do is buy merchandise, that's good. It supports the Japanese industry, but I will say that if all you're buying is like imported Japanese merchandise, you're not going to end up being able to support the North American industry unless it was North American manufactured merchandise. Not that you have to support the North American anime industry, but it is all part of the system, and it does support my job and some of the others at this table, so I will make a personal plea. Plus, it's good to be able to just get stuff legally in English. You know, like, if you're not, at some point, they might not even bring these things over legally for simulcast, which would be, that's, like, absolutely the worst, is it never gets picked up.
Yeah.
But, again, recognizing that not everybody has, you know, a $500 line item in their budget for anime goods every month. We can all dream. So if you don't have a lot of money, I would really recommend splitting a paid account on Crunchyroll or Funimation with some friends. If you get a Crunchyroll account, you're probably going to get most of the anime that's out there because they have from multiple different like companies that put on there. Like Aniplex, I think Viz also puts on Crunchyroll sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Funimation does. There's a couple of other services. Like if you have an Amazon account already, you can watch the stuff that's on Prime.
Yep.
HiDive is another streaming service that Sentai has. But if you know, all go in on a couple of the streaming accounts or just even the Crunchyroll one, I think it's like $8 a month.
It's
or $10. And if you split it with friends, and I don't know how many different ways you can split. I have never been told there's too many people on the account. So,
yeah.
And I don't even remember who all has the account. So let that be a good indicator. You could, you know.
I know someone who has 20 people on their account.
See,
so
you could be paying like
go.
50 cents a month for to buy in on a Crunchyroll subscription. And some of these companies will do a deal. If you buy a whole year, you'll like save a month on it or something like that.
You get guest passes, so you can give them to more
friends. Yeah, you do get guest passes. A lot of times during con season, Crunchyroll and Funimation will give out free 2-week or 30-day subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so those can also act as discounts on a full year subscription if you want to buy in. So definitely consider trying to get some of those. Like we've mentioned before, they do have free accounts. I know on Crunchyroll specifically, it's a 1-week delay on simulcast. And you do have to watch the ads, but if you absolutely don't have anybody who's willing to split with you, you can't afford the $8 a month thing. We understand. you can watch with a free account, that's still going to give them the legal streaming. They're still going to get the ad revenue for it versus mm-hmm. the ad revenue on like a Kiss Anime site or whatever is going to go to some guy, probably not even in the U.S., who's got some offshore account.
And it's going to give you malware.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Crunchyroll just upgraded their video player to have buffering. I will say it is a very nice experience.
It's very nice.
Very good. Get to watch things in HD. Mm-hmm. Don't have to Google and hunt around on sites for questionable stuff. So I cannot recommend legal streaming enough. I will also say save up for the home video. Mm-hmm. Usually things are announced like 3 to 4 months before they actually release. That gives you a couple of months to save up. You can, like, especially if you're, you know, under the age of 18, you might not be living on your own. Ask for an Amazon gift card for Christmas or ask for mm-hmm. a Visa gift card, something where you can then use it to spend because, I understand when you're, you know, yeah. your mom may not want to buy you anime for Christmas. She may not understand, but if you get the Visa gift card or, like, an Amazon gift card, then you can spend it how you want to without having to worry about, you know, your parents knowing or feeling like they're not going to buy this for you. But you can always ask for it for your birthday, ask for mm-hmm. it for Christmas. Those are good ways to also get it. I've still got friends who will sometimes ask for sets for Christmas. And then if, like, kind of like our baseline that I like to use is if all you had was $10 to spend on an anime or anime in general, and you think, okay, I want to buy something, just a little thing. Buy official merchandise, like buy a charm mm-hmm. that's, you know, either imported or North American official merchandise, rather than a bootleg or fan-made merchandise. And I really specifically stress the not buying bootleg because that is kind of like what tipped us all off on this was that the shop that we encountered was selling bootleg Nindoroids and was doubling down. And while Nindoroids, they're a figure. I mean, not everybody has $40 lying around. A $40 Nindoroid compared to some of the other figures, I would argue, is not really that expensive for anime merchandise. So the need for a bootleg on that one is less even than you would say on like a $200 figure. And bootleg figures do not look nice.
No.
Like they always end up looking bad. And kind of the argument that I ended up with the shop owner was, I feel very strongly about this. I argue that anime is a privilege, not a right. You are not entitled to any of the things that you have here. So when you watch free anime because you're using it on Kiss Anime or whatever like that, you're not entitled to get that for free. You're getting it for free because somebody broke the law uploading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a privilege. You're not entitled to this. We obtain all of these things through the transaction of money. That is just like, at the end of the day, this is just kind of like, here's how the world works, people. You know, like I can't try to convince somebody that they should save up for the things they want that make them happy versus doing whatever's necessary to get them quick and cheap. And that's just that's the philosophical difference in terms of like how we just approach life. I don't know how they would apply their views to other things. I don't know if they, you know, go into Walmart and say, well, I'm going to get this as cheap as possible, if that means stealing it. But it's just, I guess, going back to all of this, if you want to actually support the industry, you're going to have to put some money into it. And that's kind of the harsh truth of all this.
I mean, it's like Canal Street in New York is like the famous place to go to get knockoff designer bags.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, usually, I mean, we don't look down on people that do that because those designer bags cost a lot more than the knockoff bags. And, like, the difference between bootleg anime merchandise and real anime merchandise is not that big, first of all, compared to, like, a knockoff
mm-hmm.
Birkin bag.
Mm-hmm.
But also, those companies are doing fine. And selling too many knockoffs doesn't hurt them as much as selling too many bootleg anime merchandise could
mm-hmm.
potentially hurt it, because just the magnitude of income for the two industries is very different. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt anybody to buy a knockoff Birkin bag, because I'm sure Hermes hates it when you do that. But it's worse when it's on a smaller scale company, like the companies that make this merchandise are going to be.
Yeah, and I think that specifically with a lot of this stuff, like you said, there's just not as big of a difference in between the cost for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's different too when you're in the industry like myself, or when you care about it, you can contextualize it. Like I can't picture the Hermes like designer and who it's hurting. But like, if I think about buying bootleg Yuri on Ice merchandise, I know exactly who it's hurting. I know exactly what the consequences will be. And it's like, what, because at some point, some of these things could really result in people leaving the industry, not mm-hmm. being able to find work, the companies like studios going bankrupt, mm-hmm. Properties not being made. And we had a huge bubble burst in 2007 with the North American industry where things just went downhill. There was everything contracted. There was just not a lot of anime coming into the market. We're in such a glut of anime now that you don't want these things to happen because the industry is otherwise so healthy. And when I think about like the bootleg bags, I do think of how in Ida bagging, specifically, there was a company that had to stop making one of their designs because it got bootlegged so much. Mm-hmm. So for some of these things, even like it feels bigger than it is because you're in the bubble of the anime industry. Yeah. You know, the anime industry like outside in the real world might be much smaller, but when you're within it and you see, or like you're within the Ida bagging community, when a company is like, well, I can't make, when Two Alice says I can't make this backpack anymore, or Wego threatens to not make a backpack because people have been bootlegging it, you can see the effects. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get your official merchandise because they stop making that type of design.
And at the end of the day, this is kind of just breaking a habit for a lot of older anime fans because, yeah, way back when, we didn't have access to anything.
Yeah.
Merchandise, video, any of that. And so, yeah, you had to use scanlations to read, you know, any manga. You had to mm-hmm. go to sites that were questionable or, torrenting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we're in a period where we don't have to do that anymore, and we can finally, you know, get the correct, you know, the right merchandise, get the official anime and everything in our homes, and we just need to break the habit of going straight to illegal streaming and illegal scans, because we don't have to do that anymore. It's not about what we don't have, because we have it all.
Yeah, it's so... Some of this podcast can maybe feel like a little bit of a downer, but like think about it in terms of like everything that we've gotten mm-hmm. and how much more we still stand to gain, because it used to be that you might get like one BL OVA like every couple of years, and now almost consistently we have at least one streaming like anime on TV, like 12 episode thing. Maybe it wasn't like your favorite, like not everybody loves Super Lovers, but we got something, you know, or we're getting some of these other titles, and so mm-hmm. You can hope that this is progress. You can hope that, you know, it's going to be getting better. But even to say, well, I don't like Super Lovers, you have to be able to support the things that you do like in hopes that they will still get something.
Yeah.
So I would just ask, at the end of the day, ask yourself where your money's going. Like, any time you're thinking about where to purchase stuff, you have to think about, like, will it support the show and the creators? Will it support a third party? Or is it actively going to hurt the show? And then we would just ask that you... At the very, very, very least, never delude yourself that if you're watching illegal anime, that it doesn't hurt the show or the creators and the industry, because it absolutely does. It could cost people money. It could cost projects. And you don't want to be looking at no BL being made for 5 years because mm-hmm. everybody pirated the last one that, you know, was out there. I will take ownership of this statement because I don't know how everybody else feels, but I will say that real fans pay for their anime. It could be argued that real music fans pay for their music. I've had to look inward and say, if I'm going to feel this way about anime, I have to feel this way about everything, which means I have to buy CDs. I have to buy other stuff. You can't just always be illegally downloading everything if you want to support what you care about. And that's, from my perspective, part of growing up, part of being able to then reallocate your money once you have disposable income. I mean, some years may be tough. Never again prioritize anime over food, please. Please eat. But at least it should help you when you're trying to figure out what to do with the disposable income, with thinking, I love anime, I want to be a responsible anime fan, how can I help? So we hope that that's cleared it up for everybody.
And it's not just anime either. I mean, we're talking about manga as well, you know, but like Kit said, we never had the manga before. Like, we would get manga titles maybe once a year.
One book a year.
A new book.
It took me 12 years to collect Fushigi Yugi, and I don't want to do that ever again.
Yeah. So now that we actually get BL titles, we get things. You can read the scans, but go buy the book.
Yeah.
It's being published. If you want more published, we need it. And even if you can't buy the book, a cheap way is to get the e-manga version, which is totally legitimate and goes
save
back to the company.
Too, if you have a lot of room in your apartment.
Yeah.
If you live with your parents, it's easier to hide digital things.
It sure is. You put a password on that, it's safe.
Exactly.
We don't want to go back to the dark ages of the early 2000s. Please support the industry.
And one thing I would say for Slash as well, we don't really talk about it as much, but you have the MM romance titles. One thing people don't realize is if you buy from iTunes or Kindle, the authors don't get as much money. So if you have the ability to go and buy an MM romance style, don't illegally download the book. The authors work hard on that. They spend months writing that. They edit it. They go through a huge process, and they're usually not, that's not their only job. Usually that's their fun job, and then they have a day job. So support these lovely writers by going directly to the publishing site and buying the book. They get more money that way. Same with any slash media. You just really go and support the original artist. Web comics, you know, give a dollar to their patron. It mm-hmm. really helps.
Yeah. And for manga too, okay, so if you really, really love a title that you've read in scans and it's not in English and maybe it's got problematic things and it'll never be in English.
Ever.
Or yeah. Or maybe it's not even that problematic, but it's just unlikely to get licensed. You can always buy the Japanese original version. Now, here in America, it's often hard to get that. You can probably order it to be shipped to you from amazon.co.jp, but shipping is, I mean, not awesome. It's going to be more expensive. So if you, my suggestion would be, if you ever take a trip to Japan, stop by a bookstore, look at what they have, buy a thing. Even if you go to the used bookstore, like a used manga or second or third or fourth hand manga is not gonna directly support the person who created it. However, it does support the industry as a whole and shows that their works are still popular and are still in circulation. Or you can buy the actual thing itself. Books don't weigh very much if you just get one.
If you get like an extra, 50 pounds of, it wasn't 50 pounds. How many pounds of books did I ship?
It was $100 of shipping worth.
Yes.
Well, so if you want to get a couple books, they don't weigh very much. They're actually really cheap. Even though DVDs there are really expensive, books
Doujins are like regular manga.
But regular manga can be very inexpensive, even brand new. Yes. And then
they're so beautiful because Japan actually makes them like really pretty with specialty print. Like I think still about the neon sign Amber one with the holographic on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're lucky if, like to be fair, some BL manga recently have gotten some nice specialty print options. Shout out to Viz for the lovely neon PMS on Escape Journey. But they're not always going to get the full, song and dance that, some of these Japanese editions will do. So if you really want, pretty manga, buy the Japanese version.
Yeah. And then the even more direct way to do that is if you go to like Comiket and the manga artist that you like is going to be there, you can directly hand them money or their assistant money, and they get that money for their doujinshi, not for their manga, but for other things that they have. So yes, those are three ways that you can help things. And like the first time I went to Japan, it was on vacation, and I went to a bookstore and I was like, I want to buy the two titles that I have read over and over and over again, and I found them and I bought them, and that's how I supported, even though 99% of the time I was reading on scanlation sites, but those titles were never going to come over here. So that's the best I can do.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing, because some of Inariya Fusunosuke's work has been licensed here, Maiden Rose, but Hari no Hana was finally published. So I wanted to support, I even wanted just to support the fact that it got a Japanese publication, because I knew that some of her work has struggled to get published. So I felt like even though it'll never, never get licensed over here, I still have to support the fact that it's barely getting published in Japan. And that's just like, I don't know if that's like the highest Fujoshi level you could attain, where you're just like, I don't even care that I'm never going to get it myself. But, and it was nice too, just to be able to have it.
And to meet her and see her.
Yes. I will say, if you ever have the opportunity to go to Comiket, a lot of BL mangaka are pretty prolific doujin artists, and you do have the chance, which it was very odd to me that like a published author would just be there selling basically like fan works, and then I could just like walk up and like meet this person. Like it's still very just like, this is not at all how it ever worked in America. Like there's no author who would go to like basically a like,
They have Goodreads Live, I guess, where some authors go, but I don't know
if
humongous big-time authors go there if it's more smaller stuff.
Yeah, because it just feels like, I guess with Comiket, you've got everybody from, like, amateurs who probably can't draw.
We had two people that were dressed up as Cartman and Stan.
Yeah.
And were selling South Park doujins, the two Japanese ladies, and we were like, oh my god, South Park, and then we talked about South Park. But they were cosplaying Cartman and Stan at their Comiket table selling
Amazing.
South Park doujins and also, I think, also brony stuff.
Yeah. It was just like, actual mangaka kind of like mixed in. If you know where to look, it's kind of complicated to find people. But I do really recommend. It sounds like, I guess, a little elitist to be like, spend a lot of money to go to Japan and then buy cheap goods.
Well, one
thing is cheap.
One thing with the doujins, my favorite doujinshi writer right now draws Voltron doujins, and one of the problems that have come up is the My Reading Manga site, where you can read all the doujins. People are stopping buying their doujins because they can read it online, and they have e-versions of the doujins if you don't want to spend $25 to get it shipped. A $7 doujin in Japan to ship for $25. But if you don't have money for that, they have e-versions, and the e-versions are often translated, which is nice, but people are like, well, why would I buy it if I can go to My Reading Manga? And I'm like, if you have money, please go support the doujin artists. They have a website. It's directly hurting them to go and just read the scan.
That reminds me a lot of, you know, people will say, oh, well, I don't think it's really going to hurt. There are quite a few actual mangaka who realize that people, specifically probably in America, are reading their stuff illegally. And I think of Yana Tomaso, who draws Black Butler, who's also done some BL in her past. She specifically, at one point, I think on Twitter, had made, or blog, she'd made a post, a very impassioned post about how upset she was about people reading it illegally and asking people not to, to do so, because basically she said it was not equivalent exchange, and those were her direct words. And I think that if the creators themselves are having to go to those lengths to say, you know, please don't read it illegally, I think that really speaks to the actual cost that it has for people.
How much it's really hurting them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just kind of upsetting to hear. But
I mean, this is their livelihood, so you got to help support it.
Yeah. And one kind of prolific fan subber for BL titles has received cease and desist for certain titles. And so, like, on their website, it says, these titles may not be shared here. And it's, like, Chunjo Romantica Season 1 and 2 and Iroquois Ikoku Romantan and Gravitation, I think.
Yeah, and there's a couple of scanlation groups that are actually pretty good about it. If something gets licensed, they stop scanlating it. Yeah. They're basically only doing the scanlation until it gets an official license. Because, I mean, I recognize that there's a desire for people to read stuff. You know, there's scanlators often are not making money off of it. They're doing it for the love of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
It just that then you get aggregate sites like My Reading Manga, which is not probably run by a scanlation group. It's probably run by somebody who's sourcing all of these things and putting them in, they're the ones who are getting the money in the offshore account versus the scan leaders. So they're using everybody in the system, be it the legal and illegal parts.
Yeah, and reading scanlation, you might think, well, if everybody reads it, then maybe they'll license it, they'll look at what's popular and do it. Maybe.
But there's no way for a company to get the metrics from another company's site.
And also, like, DMP, the recent titles they've released are things like no one has ever heard of, and they're not scanlated. You cannot get them scanlated anymore, which I think they're trying to do that on purpose so that no one will have read it. You can only go through them to read it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like to read things before I buy them. I mean, like at the library, I could read a book before I actually go buy it. So I'm more likely to buy something that I know I like and then not even open it. Because I can read it online and I like to read it, e-read it better. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've actually put on my shelf, even anime-wise, like, I may never rewatch it. It's there because I liked it or I worked on it or, you know, because there's just an infinite, like, there's a finite number of hours in the day. So sometimes it's going to be spent watching or reading something new, but I wanted to support the fact that it was there, that it is pretty, especially with some of the BL that do get the really pretty print, because I'm, like, a print nerd. So it's like, oh, it's so pretty, I have to have it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this probably is going to be wrapping up for us on the Anime Industry Podcast. We are BL Garden of DFW. We want to give a shout out to all of our patrons through Patreon. If you would like to support us doing future podcasts or doing conventions, our con season is kind of winding down for the year, but we're already thinking about 2019. So if you want to support us in our adventures there, or if you have a convention you want us to go to, reach out to that convention. If it was anything that we did this past year, like ACON or A-Fest, again, please let them know that you loved having us, because we want to come back for 2019, and they're not going to know that unless you tell them that you loved having us. So again, thank you for your support, and we hope to have you listening to our next episode. It's going to be spooky.
Spooky. Yay. Bye.
Thank you.